Welcome to the Save Your Marriage podcast, dedicated to all the men and women out there who are going through marital problems and want to save their marriages. Here, we give you tools, perspectives, and insight into how to save your marriage and have a thriving marriage. This podcast is sponsored by The Fortified Spouse. And now, here's your host, Arturo Henriquez.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to this episode. Thank you very much for listening. I just want to invite all the men and women out there to book a private complimentary call with me. We will talk about your particular situation in private and give you lots of guidance and put you on the path to restoring and saving your marriage. Just go to www.fortifiedspouse.com/call. That's C-A-L-L. So today I want to talk about happiness and what happens when I'm not happy and you're not happy. And I want to tackle that topic by starting out with an email I received from a client who is in our Fortified Spouse program, and his name is John. And then I want to expand that to the topic of happiness in general. Let's go to John's email, which read, "We've been together for 11 years and slowly disconnecting for the last several of those years." Now, I'm going to stop right here. I'm going to pause and say to people that this is somewhat normal. Lots of couples who are in a marriage crisis slowly disconnect without realizing it somewhere along the way because they hit the pause button on their relationship. They didn't know it. They didn't even know that there was a pause button to hit. Sometimes they did know it. They knew it. They were hitting that pause button. And they were waiting to unpause it, when the kid went off to school, or when, the job got a little easier or whatever that was. So back to John's email, and it read, "I was unaware of this until I found out about 2 years ago that my wife was having an emotional affair. That's when I got into your program, the Fortified Spouse program. And I was able to see the problems before the affair. But it's also very hard and I am unable to trust her. And that's all I could focus on. And in the process, I'm making both of us disconnected and miserable. And she was trying very hard to show me that she loved me. But I was so resentful that I didn't want to see any of it." All right, so let's just pause here from the email. Notice that sometimes when we're recovering and we don't know how to do that appropriately, we accidentally cause more damage. We see the problem, we try to fix it, and our fix actually gets us into more trouble because it comes from a place of hurt and pain. And both people can want at that point, honestly want to say things and not be able to do that. Okay, so then continue on with the email. So then about 2 months ago, she told me she was done. She still loved me, but she couldn't continue in this relationship. Because no matter what she does, she can never make me happy. And I haven't been happy for years. And so I am more immersed in the Fortified Spouse program and things are slowly improving. But this word happy is something I struggle with. John says, "Happy to me is fleeting. Something I feel when something happens, which I just mentioned, but not something that is sustainable for long periods of time. I'm not a smiley, giggly person and never have been. I don't feel unhappy on the inside. I'm more focused on feeling love, connected, content, supported. But my wife is so focused on happy. So I guess my question is, why does this word get so much focus? You continue on doing what you're doing, and your spouse is only focused on you being happy. And if you're not showing happiness all the time, marriage is broken." So I'll pause there from the email. And let's just broaden this out a little bit because I hear it in two different ways. "You're not happy, you'll never be happy" is one of those. The other is, "I'm not happy." And in actuality, the one I hear the most often is, "I'm not happy." The other one is, "I can't make you happy." So now let's get a little bit of reality about this. The fact is that you can't make your spouse happy and your spouse can't make you happy. In fact, you are not responsible for your wife's happiness, and she is not responsible for your happiness. I mean, that's the hard fact. Your wife cannot make you happy. You cannot make your wife happy. It's not possible. Now, let me go a little bit further than that. You can make a wife, your spouse, miserable. It is within our capacity as humans to make other people around us miserable as long as they stay around us. Most of us kind of sort, you know, through friends, right? We have a friend and the friend is just always kind of making us miserable in lots of different ways, maybe making demands upon us and always sharing their problems or always making drama within the friend group or whatever. And so all we do is we shift away from that person. A lot of experience in our lives figuring out how to unmemorize these relationships that we're in, we usually just cut them off. Maybe you grew up in a family where that was kind of a common trait that people just felt miserable and nothing changed about that. The misery was part of something that you as a child could not fix. And sometimes people kind of give up on dealing with that because of, you know, that feeling. But a lot of times what you just see is that the family just continues being miserable. There's no resolution to it. So we don't see a resolution point to misery with other people. And so we tend in life to cut out people who are in our friend network or acquaintances or at work that make us miserable. Now, what happens when you've married somebody, you've promised to be there till death do us part, and you're making each other miserable? That's where we get to that place. We have to figure out how to work through that, work to be our best selves and work to be our best connected relationship. So let's go back to the happy question. You can't make your spouse happy and your spouse can't make you happy. And until people take that back, until they take back responsibility for that, the relationship is going to be stuck. So what do I mean by that? If I make somebody responsible for my emotional state, they have all the responsibility and none of the control. Because in reality, my emotional state is really my responsibility, not theirs in any way. And so if I make somebody responsible, but they have no control, how can they win? And what we tend to do when we try to make somebody else responsible for our emotional state is that we require more and more from them to fix it. So they do something that still doesn't make us happy. So the effort is to do something else that still doesn't make us happy. So then they have to try to do something else that still doesn't make us happy. But by now there are layers, deep layers, and they think that they have to do something to figure out something that's going to make you happy. And in reality, they never could do that in the first place. And so they're chasing after a goal that cannot ever be accomplished from that by them for you, over which you've created control. And the reverse is true. Maybe they want to make you happy, right? And you can't do that because you have the control. Now, when a marriage is in crisis, the last thing that a spouse wants to hear is, I can't make you happy. I give up. Because in the process, sometimes people have gotten into a relationship where they've gotten to that place where both people are expecting that from the other person, not knowing any better. The fact is that there is so much out there in literature and in movies and in songs about, you know, how somebody completes us and how somebody kind of brings us our joy and our happiness. And I see it all the time in social media, in Facebook, in Instagram feeds that are talking about marriage or a new marriage. And they talk about, you know, you complete me and you bring me so much joy and, you know, my happiness is all because of you. And I'm sitting there going, wow, we're on the path. We're on the path to trouble, because at some point when you no longer feel that, that's when that switch happens to blame. Right now, it's in a place of gratitude for how you make me happy. But eventually, when that no longer is sustainable, it begins to turn into blame. You know, you don't make me happy, or why can't you make me happy? At that point, we are in trouble. That's when we're stuck. And so we have to start out with the reality check that your spouse cannot and will not make you happy. And that's not their responsibility, nor can you or will you make your wife, your spouse happy. That's not it either. Now, it is possible that something your spouse does will bring you that sense of happiness in the moment. Let's say your spouse comes home and surprises you with a dream vacation. Well, that will make your mood, you know, go up. Or maybe it's a present, or maybe a special meal. You know, something out there that is going to momentarily bring some happiness. The fact that a spouse can't ultimately make you happy and you can't ultimately make your spouse happy doesn't mean that we stop doing things for our spouses. We do things for love. We do things to show love, not to make them happy. The fact that is when we're doing loving things, that is going to create a more happy atmosphere. So recognize that there's a reverse piece, that when people are more connected, they tend to be more happy. When the relationship is going well, they tend to be more happy. That doesn't mean that the spouse did that. It means that when we are involved in a loving relationship, we feel better. We feel happier. When we are involved in a disconnected relationship, we feel less good. We feel more miserable. It's not about the other person. It's about the relating that's there and how it affects us. Now, one of the other pieces to this is people often say, okay, well, if they're not going to make me happy, I'll go find someone who can, someone who will. And what they often mistake is the chemistry of infatuation with happiness. You find somebody else to be involved with and they say loving things to you. And that would momentarily make you happy because it brings in a dopamine load to your brain and an adrenaline rush to your system that feels like happiness. It's just not sustainable. So when I say your spouse can't make you happy, I'm talking about that sustainable over time. Can your spouse make you happy for the next 15 minutes? Sure. There are many different ways that we might do something for a spouse that would bring momentary happiness. And that is the outside thing that John is talking about. The problem is that's not a sustainable plan over the long term. And it buys into the myth that the other person is the one responsible for your happiness. In terms of your happiness, you are 100% responsible for that. In terms of your spouse's happiness, your spouse is 100% responsible for that. That doesn't give you permission to say, I don't care about you. Be miserable. It doesn't matter. Because the other thing that's part of this is that we are 100% on the same team together to get through life together. And that's where we realize it. Yes, there are things that we can do to make our spouse miserable. Making poor decisions, making demands, being controlling, doing other things like that can make your spouse miserable because life circumstances do affect us. So the fact is that somebody can make you miserable, but they can't make you happy. You can make somebody else miserable, but you can't make them happy. So the question is, can we find ways of connecting that kind of get us away from the misery? And what I've realized is that when people are doing things lovingly, it tends not to be too miserable. It tends to move us in another direction. So we create the platform where we can move together. One place where couples can really work on this is when they shift away from the expectations that often haunt relationships. And they begin to move towards agreements of how they'll be together. The difference between expectation and agreement is the fact that if you're living in the expectation world, your wife, your spouse at best is going to get to zero, or you're going to get at best to zero with your wife or your spouse. If I expect somebody to do something and they do it, that's good, but we just got to zero. Because if we didn't meet expectations, then that's a failure. So the best you can do is get to zero when you've met an expectation. Now, when we have agreements, we're both in on that. It's not a win-lose proposition. It's not either you meet my expectations or you'll fail. But how do we live in the agreements together? That's where we begin to, you know, take responsibility for our own place. When I have expectations for somebody else to make me happy, that expectation is not going to be sustainable. So we can begin to work to find new ways of moving forward together in ways that are more connecting, and we agree on that as part of a team. And we teach you how to do that in our Fortified Spouse program. So I invite you to go visit that if you are in marriage crisis. Now, so John, to answer your question, why the focus on happiness? Usually, that comes when people are unhappy and they're trying to figure out how to make a shift. And so what happens if I'm unhappy? The last place I want to place the blame for that is myself, because if I'm unhappy, if it's my fault, I can't blame it on the relationship, then I can't just make an easy change. You see, if you say, okay, this is a relationship is making me unhappy, so I'll leave it, that's easier than saying there's something within me that's missing here. That's something that I'm missing. I've got to make a shift in my own life towards that place. So the happiness begins to be an easy answer. It's also a cultural answer. I am very much aware of how rampant this looks for the happiness thing in our culture. There are so many books that have popped up in the last 10 to 15 years about how to be happy. Interestingly, the level of happiness in culture doesn't seem to have budged one bit. And research, book after book, comes out, nothing changes in people's overall sense of happiness. And that tells me we're shooting at the wrong target. So the happiness industry keeps trying to give the next answer. Many times the happiness industry is actually talking about something else, but they are using happiness phrases. And so we hear that often. We go, well, I should be happy, right? If all these books are out there, how to be happy, I deserve to be happy, right? There's something built in that. In fact, we even talk about the pursuit of happiness as being part of the beginnings of the United States, forgetting that happiness at that time was defined as living a best life, like doing good for the world. So you feel good by doing good. That's not where we are these days. Happiness has become a very trite idea. I feel good right now, and I want to feel good like this all the time. And so what happens is we have some experiences along the way. You know, we get that toy. We find something that gives us instant gratification. We get the raise, or something happens and we go, oh, that did it. Now I'm happy. Only to find not long after that, that you're back to kind of the baseline. And even with social media, where we're only seeing the happy place, we're not seeing the behind the scenes. We're not seeing ugly pictures. We're not seeing sad pictures that are being posted. We tend to only see those happy, perfect moments, which tells us that we must be happy, and we're not happy, so we must find something to blame. When couples have been struggling and one is saying, I'm not happy, then that begins to be a measurement, a way of understanding this. That may be a goal that somebody says they want in their personal life, but the goal of marriage is to be connected with somebody, to have each other's back, to be so connected that you move as a team, that you're supportive of each other. So if a spouse is miserable, you certainly want to solve that. But you also recognize that the spouse is the one responsible for figuring out how to solve the happiness question for them. So this is a big issue. And the solving point for this is the one that is true when I talk about the three C's of saving your marriage. The first C is about connecting with the spouse. The second C is about changing yourself. And so if you say, okay, I'm going to change to find more fulfillment, more satisfaction, more gratitude, those are great places of moving into something else, of becoming your best self. But it doesn't require your spouse to give that to you. So the connecting with a spouse is supporting them in becoming their best self of their own changes. And the creating a new path is about becoming that team that you know you need to be in order to make it through life in a way that you both want to get there. I hope that sheds some light for you, and I'm sure it sheds some light for others who've heard the same thing. Thank you for listening. Now, I want to introduce you to the Fortified Spouse program that has helped thousands of women and men just like you save their marriages with an 85% success rate. It is based on four fundamental pillars. One, gain the tools to reconnect with your spouse. Two, understand the differences between men and women so we can appreciate and be more empathetic with our spouse. Three, learn how to gain inner confidence so we are no longer codependent on our spouse. And four, deal with our insecurities and triggers so we are more emotionally in control and not as easily triggered.
If you're interested in learning more about these tools to immediately stabilize the marriage and postpone and delay the divorce or separation or win your spouse back from an affair, then go to www.fortifiedspouse.com and enroll in the program. It is going to change your life. It is going to make you the best version of you, and it has the highest probability of saving your marriage.
You have been listening to the Save Your Marriage podcast for men and women. For further information, visit The Fortified Spouse at www.fortifiedspouse.com. Thank you.